Well, it's up there.
The black fan, it went back to my house?
No, there's one right here. I'll move it back over here for you. I'm hot too.
It is hot.
You took your black fan back to your house?
I think so.
Well, Paula got hot, so she finally it's only fair.
I think it's there. It seems like I did.
Buy a new one.
She was afraid I'd break it.
She's cashy.
What time do the festivities start on Friday night,
Alice? Yeah, we're on. Okay. I'd like to call the Appropriations Committee to get meeting to order. Today is Monday, September 26th, and it is 11:15 a.m. And if we could have roll call, please.
Congresswoman Rebard.
Here.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Present.
Congressman Bickhorst. Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Speaker Goodfox.
Present.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present. And just want to make note that Congressman Bickhorst is chairing his Rules and Ethics for Engrossment right now, so he's not with us. Also, I just forgot, there was an email sent to everyone that had a list of subjects that we wanted to discuss in this meeting, not the agenda. It was a secondary list of all the programs within 2295 up for discussion. Y'all will locate that.
Yes, Chair, I apologize to you. I would like to print the committee substitute, if you don't mind, so I can write on the actual bill.
Okay.
I'm going to print that right now so that I can try to keep up. And yes, I remember your email.
Okay.
I have some inserts and I have some amendments too, so let me get organized.
I'll get back to it here in just a second. And then in just a minute, can you run and get that copy? I just printed off what you sent us last night.
Yeah.
Okay, while we're picking up some prints and things, let's if y'all will join me in prayer, I'll pray first this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this lovely day, and we thank you for the opportunity we have to serve our Osage people. We ask that you lead us and guide us in the decisions that we make. We ask that you watch over people around the world. We have war, we have mourning, we have illnesses, and all these people, these families, and especially our Osage families. We ask that you lay a healing hand on them. We ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Next on the agenda is the approval of minutes. I don't know why. Ask her. Madam Chair. Yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
Motion to approve the minutes for September 19th, 2022, as presented.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Motion passes. Minutes are approved. Next, we're on the budget analyst report.
Good morning, committee. Currently, I show $5,764,427 remaining available for appropriation from fiscal year 2023 tribal funds. with today's proposed committee substitute. If it's adopted, then the remaining funds would be $3,932,266. I sent out a review of the committee substitute this morning that goes through change by change. And then from ARPA fiscal recovery funds, $1,456,118 remains available for appropriation. And this was confirmed by the COVID task force coordinator, Mr. Wygant, this morning.
Chair.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, but Jordan, did you send your report out to everybody?
The report, do you mean the one like the snapshot?
Yeah, the one you're discussing right now.
No, ma'am. I can send it out though.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Would you print that off too so I can make notes on it while we're going here? Next on the agenda is item six, ONCA 2295, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation for fiscal year 2023 in the amount of $56,620,422 and to establish an alternate effective date. I am the sponsor. I sent out a list to the secretaries of the nation to join us today. I believe most of them are on the call with us today. Instead of this bill came out of committee and then we've moved it into the appropriations for another round of review. And instead of going over the bill page by page, I asked members what sections they wanted to look at again, or were there any amendments that we might have missed out of committee. And so they brought the discussions forward. And I'm looking for my email. I've lost it all of a sudden here. Here it is. No? give me 1 second, because I thought I had that pulled up. Jordan, I'm looking for the one that I sent to you that had the sections listed on it, I thought. Okay.
It was dated Friday, September 23rd, I believe. Or wait, I apologize, September 21st at 2:31 p.m. That was the one that had seven different items, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it doesn't have the sections on it either. I did one where I had the sections on there. So we're going to have to do a little coordinating, Jordan. You might have to help us. The first one in the discussion item is over the Capital Asset Fund. And we had in the Capital Asset Fund a couple of different items that we were wanting to address.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Jordan, please go ahead.
That review I sent out, it has, if everyone can have that pulled up. So on the front, there's a snapshot or a summary of the total impacts and some highlights. But if you turn the page, number one is Capital Asset Fund. And there's a little paragraph at the top that talks about what the changes are. And then you can see in the insert below the current version of the budget, what the committee substitute would look like, and then the differences. So for Cap Asset, for example, it says the committee substitute adds two more patrol vehicles for law enforcement, bringing the total in the Capital Asset Fund budget to five. A sixth patrol vehicle is included in the non-tribal budget. The committee substitute also adds four trucks for tribal development. And then you can see the differences in the table below. And you could go through every single budget that's changed is listed in this summary or in this review document. And there are 25 budget inserts total that were changed.
I'd like to go through, if it's okay with the committee, I'd like to ask Jordan to go through each budget and let's, so that we can talk about it if we need to have any discussion. Some of these were that we all had already discussed and agreed that that's what we needed to do in the last committee. But let's take this step by step.
Chair.
Congresswoman Rebard.
I think, shouldn't I do my committee amendments first? I have amendments to 2295. I have two of them.
That are not on this list?
That were already, they were sent out to Congress, and but they need to be amended into the bill.
Okay, I'd like to go through these other amendments first. These are in the committee substitute already.
They are too.
That's true. We have not adopted the committee substitute, so I'm going to step back and adopt it. And then I want to discuss what's in the committee substitute, then we can add your two amendments.
My amendments are reflected in this committee substitute, so I was trying to get the amendments voted on.
Well, when we vote for the substitute, it will pull them in. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think that we have to adopt the substitute first.
Yes.
And then do the amendment that you want to present, unless your amendment is already included in the committee substitute that has been presented to us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I need a motion to adopt the committee substitute.
You will need to include the date and the time, which is today's date at 11:24 a.m.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
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 Any opposed, say no. Okay, the substitute is adopted. So now as we go through these, with Jordan telling us what the changes are, at that point we discuss each one as we go through them.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Lemon.
I'm a little bit, I need just a minute. I'm having trouble locating the email that shows the differences. I have the committee substitute in front of me, and Congresswoman Rebard mentioned a time on that particular email that on 9/21.
Yes.
Okay, so I just need help getting there, y'all.
Okay.
Okay, and then I'm ready.
Congresswoman Lemon, would you let me to make a copy of this?
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so very much. Even better.
And Chair, the two amendments that I were going to propose are in your committee substitute. So I don't think that then I need to even offer them. Since
that's
we
correct.
Adopted the committee substitute.
Yes.
So
yes.
I just wanted to let you know.
Okay, thank you. And then when we get to that page, any discussion you have, we can discuss it.
Thank you.
And the same for the people who have joined us on the call.
Chair.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Would it be helpful to have the screen pointed towards us so we can see who is on the call?
James Wygant, Casey Johnson, Lauren Malone, and Sheridan Pickering.
Pickering. Jordan, why don't you go, if you wouldn't mind, would you go ahead and tilt that?
It's just a flash. It's no big deal.
Mm-hmm. There we go. There we go. That's good. That's good. Okay, the first one was a capital asset. Are we good now? Everybody good to go?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Thank you.
And so Mr. Frazier talked about the inclusion of the patrol trucks and the tribal development trucks. Any discussion on those vehicles? This was discussed late in the committee.
I'll start discussion.
Okay. Congresswoman Rebard.
Thank you. So since we have everyone on the call that I think needs to be, I guess, the patrol trucks are how many new vehicles?
Mr. Frazier, can you answer that?
Yes, ma'am. There would be a total of 5 in this budget, and then there would be a 6th in the non-tribal law enforcement budget. So they would be getting 6 new patrol vehicles in fiscal year 2023.
And how many, if I may, Chair, did they ask for originally?
Might have to refer back to the minutes. I thought it was 3 original request.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Frazier.
The you did send out a budget this morning for them, and it's the support documentation that was submitted on September 1st, and there were 3 patrol trucks listed in that budget.
So they, if I may, Chair, for clarification, they originally asked for 3 new vehicles, all out of cap assets?
They didn't specify, I don't believe, or we specified it would come out of cap assets or put in cap assets.
Well, they'd have to be.
Yes, that's why I'm saying that.
So they asked for 3 vehicles when the budgets were sent down originally, out of cap assets for 3 patrol vehicles for law enforcement?
No, I believe they asked for 1 in their federal budget.
So there was nothing in the cap assets. We're amending the cap assets to include 5 new vehicles out of tribal dollars, correct?
Mr. Frazier, did they send down support documentation that requested the 5 vehicles?
The initial budget they submitted was on September 1st, and it includes 3 patrol vehicles. That is what's currently listed in ONCA 2295. I believe it was later on, there was consideration about adding 2 more vehicles. I think that was an amendment Congresswoman Redcorn was going to put forward, or did put forward. And it was decided in that committee that the new vehicles should be in the cap asset budget and not in the program budget. So that's why this committee amendment or committee substitute includes those 2 additional vehicles, bringing the total to 5.
Okay, so Chair, if I may, I just need some clarification.
Yes.
And I think you're still chair in the meeting, so it's your bill and you're chairing. Mm-hmm. So I apologize, because I've got to get my head wrapped around this. The review, just want to make sure this is correct. 6 vehicle purchases are added to the cap asset budget, 2 for law enforcement and 4 for tribal development. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you. Just for a little bit further clarity, okay? So, if this in this committee substitute right now, Mr. Frazier, and I'm looking at your review, if we were to pass this particular bill out of committee today, and I'm going to focus just on ONPD's budget and cap asset budget, basically cap asset budget, there would be 6 new patrol cars appropriated for, with this new committee substitute in place for fiscal year 2023. Is that my understanding?
5 in this budget, and then there's a 6th in the non-tribal program budget.
5.
1 more in the non-tribal program budget.
Okay,
so it brings the total to 6.
Okay, so that's the 2294 budget?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay, so Chair, if I may, I need clarification. When I'm talking about vehicles, I need you guys to talk in programs. Law enforcement asked for how many originally? Just 1 out of the non-tribal budget?
Yes.
Okay, that's it. They just requested 1. Tribal development only requested, they had 1 that came down in cap assets originally, correct?
They had none.
No, I thought they had sent, there was, I thought that Tyler, excuse me, Chair, I thought that Tyler had sent down an amended cap asset budget in the middle of session that had a vehicle for tribal development in the cap asset. And the discussion, if you remember, was they had left it out and they sent down an amended budget for cap assets.
Madam Chair.
Mr. Frazier.
So we received two cap asset microy documents. The first one came on September 1st, and it included zero vehicles for tribal development and three vehicles for law enforcement. The second microy document came down on September 7th, I believe, and it included zero for it included one patrol truck for law enforcement and one vehicle for tribal development.
Okay. Were there any other documents after that?
I don't see any more. I don't see any other capital asset microy documents in the folder that the clerks keep with the support documentation.
Okay.
Those are the only two I see.
Okay, Chair, if I may.
Yes.
So then a committee met, well, I guess, was it GovOps? And GovOps as a committee agreed to increase the number of vehicles for law enforcement, and it passed out a committee with a due pass to add new vehicles to OMPD and tribal development?
I don't think, no, we did not. Mm-mm. It was discussed, and the consensus was that's what they wanted to do, but it did not come out of committee. That's why it's going in now from here. The request carried over to us, not through any formal process, just that they had discussed it, and that's what they would like. So we included it in our substitute.
Okay, so Chair, so why didn't the committee pass it out of their committee with a due pass to amend it at that time? And the reason I'm asking is I'm trying to figure out this. Okay, number one, it's not a normal process that Congress add vehicles to budgets. It's usually coming from Treasury at the time when they submit their budgets. So here we are discussing adding vehicles to the cap assets. And I was just wondering, typically the committee of jurisdiction will do that work, pass it out with a due pass. And that tells me that the committee's in agreement. We all knew that this bill was going to come back to appropriations. We knew that. So we as an appropriations committee are now asking for the additional vehicles, correct?
Madam Chair.
I'll let Mr. Frazier comment first.
The Government Operations Committee discussed the law enforcement program budget and decided that it would be more fitting for the new vehicles to come out of the capital asset fund. The capital asset fund budget was not discussed in the Government Operations Committee.
Right, that's correct.
Say again, I'm sorry.
Were you asking me or her? Okay. The Government Operations Committee discussed the law enforcement program budget, not the capital asset fund budget, and they decided that it would be more fitting for the vehicle purchases to come out of the capital asset fund and not out of the program budget.
Okay. Okay, thank you, Jordan. I'm sorry, I have to get this all together because the cap asset budget came down with, sounds like, one vehicle for each program.
Chair.
Somewhere we're amending to add more, and that's where I'm trying to get to. Where did that come from?
It came from the GovOps Committee.
Yeah, Chair.
Yes, Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just to add a little further clarification, like, I know we've talked about sort of the timeline, and I don't want to speak for the whole committee and on this, but when the original cap asset budget we got had, you know, larger quantities of vehicles to law enforcement, and then we got, in the middle of all of that, we got an amended cap asset, not GovOps, but the capital asset budget got amended for some other reason, but it affected the law enforcement trucks. But at the same time, we were also having conversation about increasing and changing their program budget. So the cap asset line was a conversation point across a few committees because there were changes happening to those few line items in a few different areas. So essentially, the amendments, I don't even believe were adopted completely to even accept the new amounts, because we basically updated the program budget, but then we just said this section needs to be figured out in cap asset, and then the conversation was going to be continued here to figure out what to do with the cap asset budget as a whole, because so many changes had been coming back and forth between us and them. So that's here we are today.
Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, that is correct, but if I recall, we were actually waiting for some direction on where those vehicles should be placed to be appropriate, and I think we received that direction. Jordan, do you remember that? We had a conversation about where it should go and would go, so we didn't have the opportunity to, in GovOps, to even update the cap assets budget. So, and I think when we received the word that it would be more appropriate to be in the cap assets budget, so now we would be at the point where we would amend them in, correct?
Amend them in, but it's the decision here whether to keep the amendment or not. Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you. So at this point, we would need to decide. We know what the intent was from the GovOps committee. The Committee of Jurisdiction in Appropriations, we're looking at it from a, you know, from an overall budget perspective. So it would be our decision as to whether we wanted to add that amount or not, not based on necessarily this discussion in GovOps, but based on the budget.
Okay.
And Chair Revard. Thank you, ma'am. I'm, you know, this cap asset, I totally agree that this is where vehicles should come from. I think it's anything over 5,000. What I guess I'm concerned with is it's with the patrol trucks, with the ONPD, that the original amount was one, and now we're moving it up. I think I would agree with the original request for both. I think through committee, if I remember, that's where, I guess, was Nick on the line and said that he needed more vehicles, and then same with tribal development. And then we also have vehicles from ENR. This changes the total request from 2.4 to 2.8. So with the new vehicles, the total increase would be 322,000 to this tribal revolving fund. That's what I'm seeing.
Okay.
So I'm a little bit timid in that the request came through committee and we're saying, okay, executive, you didn't request it through Treasury through the process, but in committee we're saying you need more vehicles. And I think the discussion started with ONPD, and then other programs were like, yeah, I need some too. So I just want to be clear, if we appropriate this section the way it's written, which, and believe me, I know how this works. You go to Treasury, you ask for what you request, what you need. I know how this works, and they look at it overall. and then they go through and they start making cuts. I get it. Then they submit it to us. And then here we are adding back in what the directors want. I think that's wonderful, because guess who knows what they need more in their programs than anybody? The directors. I agree with that 100%. But we're looking at this as an overall annual budget to the executive branch. So you're telling me with the request, then it's only going to increase this piece by $322,000 from this report. I also know, even if we appropriate this, it doesn't mean executive has to purchase the vehicles.
Sure.
Just because we put it in there, it's a revolving fund. I do hope that everybody gets the vehicles that they need if they need them. I do. I think that there's been an issue with our GSA. Remember at one time, I think there was going to be a GSA pool of vehicles and you go check them out on a daily. That never came to fruition. I also know that there's a long wait for GSA vehicles. That's outside of our nation's control because it's operated by the feds, right? I get that. Do I think we need to have good vehicles? Yes, just like we should have good buildings. And I think that if we're managing our vehicles in a proper manner, then, you know, they should be being maintained properly, you know, whatever, tires, oil changes, things of that nature. You manage that asset just like you would a building. So, but here what happens, it sounds like, is we wait until the cars are in crisis mode. And then we're coming to say, we haven't had a vehicle since the 90s or early 2000, so here we are. I don't mind. I truly don't, but I just want to make sure that we understand that just because we say, here's the vehicles, that doesn't mean they're going to get them. So is that the best use of our money? I don't know. Tyler is on the call or not. I hope so.
I don't believe he is.
Well, this is our biggest bill, and I would like the interim treasurer to be on the call, because he had some comments about the vehicles, if I recall.
Okay. Well, we can get him on the call.
I would like that, Chair, if we could, because Clark, we also have these other vehicle requests from ENR, mm-hmm, which I don't agree with. I mean, okay. I don't agree that we're buying in a feed truck. What for? Is this for the Buffalo Preserve and the CARES cattle?
I believe so.
Okay, so we have an agreement in place with the nation, I know, on the Buffalo. And there was a pending MOU with the CARES cattle.
Yeah, I don't believe it has been completed.
And then we have a side-by-side, a utility trailer, and a fire unit. Mm-hmm. And then emergency equipment trucks. What is that? Or who's that for?
Must be for emergency management.
See, that's why I would like Tyler to be on the call.
Mm-hmm. The secretaries are on the call. If there's the secretaries to those departments, maybe they could give some comment while we wait on Tyler.
Is Jan on the call?
She was invited, but no.
Well, I'd rather hear from the treasurer or the secretaries. And then, I mean, I hope we have people on the call to talk about the First National Bank, the visitor center, and the superintendent's house, and the fire depot for the visitor center in Fairfax.
I believe we have Mr. Johnson on the phone that was under his department.
Okay, so I guess until we get the folks on to talk about, I guess I'd like to hear from, we've heard from ONPD, I believe, law enforcement. We've heard from tribal development. I just don't know who the emergency equipment truck is for. graphics, I guess, is probably for the emergency. But from Jan, I want to hear about whether there's an MOU in place.
Other than Mr. McIntosh, they were all in, and I can't remember really where Mr. McIntosh is concerned, if I put his name on there or not, but I did invite all the secretaries to be here today.
Okay.
So if they're not here, I don't know if we want to strike. I don't know. I get where you're going with all of this, but, and this is where it should be discussed, but if they don't attend, we have no answer, so we have to come up with a solution there too.
Yes, ma'am.
Strike or not.
The committee be okay if we start talking about the $300,000 for the First National Bank?
Sure.
And who's here to represent that piece? Casey?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Johnson?
Yes, ma'am.
We're going to jump down to your projects at the bottom.
Yes, ma'am.
And I wonder if you could go ahead and give us an update on where we are with the First National Bank building and the request for $300,000.
Okay, so I had a discussion with Ms. Rubidoux. Oh, God, I don't remember when. Sometime this summer about some of the issues down at the First National Bank building. That includes, and I'm including in that, the offices above where y'all are at. Right now, the old pharmacy offices, I guess. Mm-hmm. We need to look at the roof above there because there's some water damage in some of those offices. So if I have to replace that roof, that's going to cost some money. The glazing on all of the windows on the east side, I believe. Well, actually, I'd like to replace all the glazing on the windows because if we're going to, you know, button this thing up with the HVAC and prevent moisture from that side, then we need to ensure that those windows aren't allowing any water infiltration to continue growing mold. So, and I've looked at them. Obviously, I'm not an expert, but you can see the crack glazing. I don't know when it was ever redone. Hell, it might be original for all I know. But those large arch windows, the glazing is in pretty bad shape. So I'd like to get that closed up so we can keep as much water out of that building as we can to avoid any more cleanup. I know y'all are tired of it.
Casey, can I ask a question real quick before... in looking at these, Casey, the First National Bank and just how you described it, the visitor center mural, the superintendent's house, to me, should be located in the PIF. They're property improvements. They're not, the way I'm seeing it, they're not new, it's not new construction or a new asset, but more an improvement. And that's where I like to have Tyler, too, because sometimes he agrees with me. So I'm just curious why it came down in the form of a cap asset rather than an appropriation request to the PIA or the PIF.
Well, and then you can look at it. I look at it either way. Yeah, you are correct. The issue with the property improvement fund, as you well know, because we've had this discussion of 1,000 times, the first thing we have to do with that money is pay all of our property taxes, which is around, and Tyler can give you the exact number, but it's around $300,000. So that goes out the door immediately.
Agree. And insurance.
And then the priority for the property improvement fund is our properties that we lease out to outside entities. As an example, the Oakley properties, I don't remember specifics for all of them, but I do know that we had to recently, I mean the last 4 months or so, maybe even six, had to replace a garage door do some painting and correct some deficiencies on one of the buildings down there. And I want to say it was around 50 grand to do all the work that had to be done for one of our lessees. You know, and it can be a whole lot of different things, repairing fence, you know, it runs the gamut. And so we concentrate on our lessees first, and then we'll go to fix other buildings that we own. One of the things that we're looking at doing is these little arbors up here in the park, you know, where the election stuff is held and all of that. The roofs all need to be redone up here. So, you know, we look at all of those things, and when I get major projects like we're going to have to do with the bank building, then I'd prefer to go through the capital asset route. Because I, you know, it's hard to say what is going to break around here. Most of the time it was the HVAC, which hopefully we've cured that problem for a few years with the CARES and the ARPA money by replacing all the HVAC systems. So that should help us some. But that's the only reason why is because of, again, I don't know what's going to pop up next week. You know, I don't know what's going to happen in the spring when the storms come, et cetera.
Chair, if I may, I just, and Casey, we're probably the two Osages that have talked about this PIF more than anybody, maybe besides Raymond Redcorn. But the purpose, and I wanted Tyler to be the one that decides this, because he is trying to manage the assets within the nation, and we've talked about this as well. When this revolving fund was established, you know, the purpose of the revolving fund was for capital improvements, regular maintenance, emergency repairs, utilities, taxes, and insurance for commercial properties, but also it says, and for capital improvements of the Osage Nation property serviced by this fund. And so, you know, the definition of that capital improvement was to, you know, improve property and increase its useful life or add value to the asset. And those could be, you know, structural improvements or renovations to a building, other structure or land. And it just was to enhance the usefulness of the productivity of that commercial property, because I think we talked about that all of our buildings we could look at as commercial property in a sense, because the tenants pay space cost. So I just want Tyler to tell me if he's okay, number one, with these types of requests being in cap assets, or does he prefer them to be in the PIF? Once he decides that, then we can start talking about the requests. That's kind of where I wanted to go.
Mr. McIntosh, ma'am, is on the phone. Go ahead, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, I'm fine with it either way. Honestly, that's totally fine. I just want, you know, you guys to know how much some of these projects are going to cost. So in either way, either fund is totally fine.
Mr. McIntosh, do you have a comment here? Did you hear enough of it?
I believe so. I think from what I've heard, I would agree that typically the property improvement fund, while it is Congresswoman Rebard read, you can do capital improvements with monies in that fund. I think typically it's, as Mr. Director of Operations, Mr. Casey explained, that a lot of times those first pay for the taxes, and then a lot of times it's for that smaller improvements that, you know, if you do go in and fix a door or something like that, and we'll probably be setting our cap threshold at 5,000, just as the federal regs kind of run. I think in code right now it says 10, but some of those minor, what you may even consider minor repair, $5,000-$6,000, it may be a small cap improvement, where typically if it's going to be a project of a, you know, if something we design or define as a project, something that we do want to track and report on, I would think it'd be easier to follow it through the cap asset revolving fund, because the cap asset we track, and whatever dollars aren't used against that project, they remain in that fund, but we still have to come back and ask to reuse those dollars in the cap asset. And, okay, you know, they're always used for the more of a capital project. So,
okay. Yes, Chair, and that's kind of where I wanted to go. I wanted to make sure that you are on the call so that this aligns with you managing our assets the way that you've discussed with us. And I just wanted to make sure that you feel like it's in the correct fund. And then,
so yeah, I think this, that would be, I think, as kind of what we've discussed is that, you know, once we identify it as cap asset and cap asset fund, then that kind of is when it lands on the radar of our asset manager. And that's the processes we're starting to, where he'll know anything gets appropriate in that cap asset fund. He'll know what that project is or what that capital asset vehicle, anything of that nature is. And then that way we can make sure track it accordingly and book it accordingly.
Chair, so can we talk about, I mean, I get the First National Bank. That makes sense to me that we get this building or the building next door renovated or up to code or up to what have you, since we're on fee simple. I totally agree with that. Even the visitor center mural, okay, I agree with any improvement towards that. I know that we set aside ARPA dollars to do a new project there. But let's talk about the superintendent's house. That's because that's $1 million. Can we get someone to talk about that a little bit?
Madam Chair.
Mr. Frazier.
I also want to note that in the CBA report, it shows $100,000 earmarked for remodel of the superintendent's house. CBA report dated July 15th shows the current status of the project is in the planning and design phase and that none of the $100,000 has been used. And the start date is listed as February 11th, 2022. No projected completion date listed.
Mr. Johnson, do you want to address that or?
So that $100,000, what does it exactly say, Jordan?
Remodel of the superintendent's house.
Okay, so Chad Renfro was hired to come up with a design and for the remodel for that project, and that $100,000, I believe, has already, I think we have to pay the last invoice. So it will be, the design will be complete once the last invoice has been sent. The original estimate from that design for the superintendent's house was approximately $3 million. And I asked Chad to go back and take a bunch of things out and to redo it and to get me down to $1 million. And he is doing that currently. Once that is done, then that $100,000 will be fully expended and we will have the final look of that project.
Mr. Johnson, what's going to be the purpose of this house once it gets finished?
We are looking at it as a facility that you can rent out for events, weddings, anniversaries, things like that, as well as working with the casinos to put folks in, like the B&Bs in town. Mr. Renfro has told us that some of these B&Bs in town are charging $500 a night to stay in the Oilman's daughter place. That's the one that he quoted me as $500 a night. And we're looking at it that way.
And also, have you discussed this with Osage LLC if you're turning it into a business?
No, ma'am, we have not.
And
I have not.
And none of it, has anyone else in this room seen the plans?
Seen the what?
The plans for the superintendent's house?
No. No, and if you do have plans, that would be great. Could you send them? I mean, is it a business plan or it's just a plan to...
The renovation plan.
For the renovation plan.
I could send you the first draft, but I don't know that that's going to do any good since I've asked for a final draft taking things out. So, I mean, I can send you the $3 million one.
Well, my question is, Chair, if I may, if the plan to renovate it is $3 million, then why would we only fund $1 million? I mean, what would that do?
I think he answered that a little while ago. You want to restate your comment?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Casey. Where did you plan to get the rest of the funds?
Well, those were my instructions. May not. So the $3 million design is, you know, the dream home. And, you know, I said, well, I don't know that we can afford $3 million. Let's try to cut a bunch of stuff out or cut things out that'll get it around down to $1 million. And so that's what's being worked on at present.
Okay. Chair, if I may.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, so we all know the superintendent's house has been sitting there for a long time. Casey, you and I know we did the structural work. We got that up to speed. We actually had homeless people living in it. And after they got run off, then we were doing renovations to start, you know, stop some other things like leaking and plumbing and all that kind of stuff, whatever. Why would we only partially fix it? Is it just because of our projected revenue and where we are right now? I mean, I don't understand why we're going to partially fix something. I mean, we're in session. We all know when that is. Why are we only coming down for the partial funding?
Ma'am? Yeah.
Mr. Johnson?
I'll take the $3 million right now.
Well, we need the plan, Case. I mean, you're saying...
I'll send you the plans.
I'm not saying that we're going to do it, but I'm saying why here we go again, not keeping our properties up to date and, you know, doing the work that I feel that they need. You know how I am. I like our buildings to be respected, taken care of properly all the time. Like that should be a constant. And here we are again trying to fund something just to do what? I mean, $1 million, is that just strictly, you said Mr. Renfro's on contract, does that include his contract dollars? for where's that contract expense at?
Mr. Johnson, do you want to address that, or Mr. McIntosh?
That's the $100,000
from last year.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Congresswoman Shaw.
Thank you. So, Mr. Johnson, going from 3 million to 1 million, that has to be more than simply design elements that are being cut out, I'm thinking, but it's sort of hard for us to make that judgment at all without seeing anything. So it may be that they can spend $1 million and make it usable if the other $2 million simply design elements that we want.
I think that before all of that began, scope
Madam
of
Chair.
Work would have helped. Mr. Johnson.
Yes, ma'am. I just emailed the, it's actually not, it is the plans, but you got to go to this Dropbox deal. And I'm not 100% sure how it works. I think you just hit the link. I just sent it to Congresswoman Rivard, the speaker, and your staff. So they should all have access to that.
Okay. I'm going to suggest that before we move any further, because I've got several asking me about lunch, that we get those forwarded out to the committee or to the members, and that we stop and break for lunch and we'll take a look at these plans and then come back for discussion.
Chair, could we have, Case, could you have somebody print that and bring it down and stamp it in, because I can't get into it and I'm scared to be trying to access somebody's Dropbox.
Mr. Johnson, if they're going to be over a size 11 by 16, you'll need to print several copies for us. We won't have the printer to do it.
Yes, ma'am. I have no idea how big they are. And again, I'm not sure how Dropboxes work. So we'll figure that out.
Okay. Okay. Without objection, then I'm going to recess until 12:45 for lunch and then we'll come back to this same discussion. Okay, we are recessed.